Welcome to Journal Club for January 1st, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. Charles Fay was born in the Kingdom of Bavaria in 1862. At 15, he moved to France to work, then went on to England, and by the age of 23, he was in San Francisco working for the Western Electric Company. This was the mid-1890s, and a lot was going on in SF at the time. The gold rush had infused this sleepy little town with untold riches overnight. In 1840, there were only a few thousand people in San Francisco. By 1880, a 250,000, many of them flush with cash. So you can imagine all the industries that popped up to cater to these new residents. From taverns to theaters to opium dens to gambling houses, and sometime in the 1890s, Charles Fay invented what would become perhaps the ultimate way to fleece money out of the hands of the newly prosperous, the slot machine. It wasn't an entirely original idea. There had been gambling machines before this, but they were much more complicated. They used drums full of decks of cards to create a quasi-simulation of poker. But these machines were tough to understand and just not that fun. Fay, toiling away in his workshop on Market Street, had a better idea. Simplify it. Three spinning wheels, five symbols each. When things line up, you get a payout. He called his machine the Liberty Bell. And the Liberty Bell worked. In fact, it worked so well that the machines were banned from California within a few years. But their popularity continued to grow around the rest of the country and the world. 130 years later, slot machines, all descending from Fay's invention, are still wildly popular. Individual casinos can deploy upwards of thousands of them at any given time, and they are still very good at taking people's money. So good, in fact, that slot machines have earned the nickname the One-Armed Bandit. The arm, referring to the lever that you pull down in old-school machines to make the wheels spin. And bandit, referring to the fact that it's probably going to take your money. As the fields of mathematics, information theory, and decision theory have evolved, they've each turned some of their attention to these machines at some point. Why? Because playing a slot machine presents a type of decision-making that has parallels to many other parts of life. When you're playing a machine, you might not realize it, but you're making a series of choices based on the information and feedback you're receiving from the interface. Each pull of the lever represents a decision to act, based on the outcome of previous plays. Over time, you start to gather information about potential rewards, and you must decide whether to continue playing, stop, or change strategies. You are effectively balancing the uncertainty of future rewards against the results you've been observing. This is called a sequential decision-making problem, and it's very similar to other decisions that you or another person or business or an autonomous car need to make all the time. In many aspects of life, you're taking actions, observing outcomes, and making choices that ideally optimize your results over time. When we started studying these kinds of problems in depth, someone had the bright idea to call them bandit problems in honor of their slot machine roots. And now we have a whole host of sequential decision-making problems that have the bandit label. A very popular one is the multi-armed bandit problem. This is supposed to be analogous to one person playing multiple slot machines at the same time and trying to decide which arm and which machine to pull next. It is now considered a classic framework in decision theory, and it also informs our understanding of reinforcement learning. At its core, the challenge here is balancing exploration and exploitation. In exploration, you're trying new actions to learn their potential rewards, i.e., you're pulling the arm of that slot machine further down the aisle just to see how it behaves. In exploitation, you're choosing known actions with the highest expected reward, i.e., you're pulling the arm of a known machine that you've observed to have the highest payout rate. In this situation, you, the gambler, are facing options, each with an unknown probability distribution of payouts, and you must decide which arm to pull at each step to maximize your cumulative reward over time. This kind of problem is typically solved using algorithms that estimate the value of each arm through observed rewards. there are a number of common strategies. Three of the most popular are epsilon greedy strategies. This is where you explore a random option a small percentage of the time and exploit the best known option the rest of the time. And then there are upper confidence bounds, UCB strategies. This is where you prioritize options with higher uncertainty by adding a bonus for less explored choices, ensuring you test actions that might perform better as you gather more information. And there's also Thompson sampling. This is where you simulate potential outcomes for each option based on past results and probabilities, then choose the option that performs best in a randomly sampled scenario. A newer, modified version of the multi-armed bandit problem is the contextual bandit problem. In this variation, each decision is influenced by contextual information that provides additional insight into the environment. This could be user demographics, time of day, or any other relevant features. In this kind of problem, you observe a context before you select an action, and you aim to maximize rewards by learning a policy that maps contexts to actions. In other words, you're trying to figure out which action works best for each specific situation, aka context. Contextual bandits are typically solved using a version of the previous algorithms we discussed that have been adapted to incorporate context. They can also be solved with linear models that estimate rewards based on features. And even more recently, we've seen the arrival of a variation of contextual bandits called causal contextual bandits. These incorporate causal knowledge about the relationships between the variables in the environment. This allows for decisions and policies to account not just for correlations, but actual cause and effect dynamics. In this kind of framework, agents, that's the entity who is trying to solve this kind of problem, use something called a causal graph. A causal graph is a diagram that represents the cause and effect relationship between different variables, showing how changes in one variable might directly or indirectly influence others. Agents use them to guide their actions and use targeted interventions to gather data efficiently. They also exploit the information leakage that occurs due to the relationships between variables. This means that they can gather useful information about some actions by observing the effects of related actions. These kinds of methods reduce the amount of exploration needed to learn effective policies. Solving contextual bandits typically involves specialized algorithms that balance a few things: leveraging existing log data, conducting sequential targeted interventions to gather new information, and using causal relationships to improve decision making. In this paper, the authors introduce a new framework for causal contextual bandits that allow agents to perform simultaneous targeted interventions in a single step. They call this one-shot. This is in contrast to the way it is done traditionally, where interventions are performed one at a time in an interactive process requiring sequential decisions and observations. It's easy to miss the importance of that little idea, so let me just spell it out a bit more. Up until now, all these various types of bandit problems have been getting solved with sequential decision-making. That's inherently how we categorize these types of problems. What the authors have done here is say, nuts to all that. We don't need to make decisions sequentially. We can make them in a batch. This one-shot approach requires the agent to decide all interventions up front and leverage existing knowledge and the causal graph itself to optimize decisions within a single step. This approach redefines how bandit problems can be approached, particularly in scenarios where multiple interventions can be executed simultaneously. Why does this matter? Let me break down how this strategy is a game changer. 1. Efficiency. By making all decisions up front, the agent eliminates the time and resource costs associated with sequential exploration and feedback. This enables faster learning and action. 2. Scalability. In scenarios where multiple experiments can be conducted simultaneously, this approach scales better than iterative methods. 3. Budget optimization. The one-shot framework allows the agent to allocate resources strategically across all interventions, balancing exploration and exploitation while staying within a fixed budget. 4. Causal leverage. The agent can exploit the inherent relationships between variables to maximize information gain without testing every possible action. And 5. Broader applicability. This approach opens up the use of bandit frameworks in domains where sequential interventions are impractical or costly. This can be the case in large-scale experiments, clinical trials, or high-stakes or high-frequency decision-making where feedback delay is prohibitive. In essence, the one-shot strategy has the potential to make solving bandit problems more efficient, impactful, and applicable to a wider range of challenges. To implement this, they wrote an algorithm designed to minimize regret while leveraging the causal relationships in the graph. They tested their approach using both synthetic datasets and datasets that were inspired by real-world scenarios. They compared the results against baselines and showed that their algorithm outperformed the others in terms of regret reduction. So, their new strategy was a modest success. The actual implementation details are just a series of equations, so I'm going to spare you that in this episode. If you want to read those formulas, you're welcome to do so, just download the PDF. But regardless, I think the important takeaway here is less about the intricacies of their particular algorithm, and more about the paradigm shift in problem solving that these kinds of solutions represent. It's an interesting time to be in mathematics or computer science or any field where you're studying and implementing solutions to classic decision-making problems. Because, as we've seen in this paper, we're entering a time where canonical problems are being rethought, re-examined, and re-solved with solutions that we never would have thought possible until recently. 2025 is shaping up to be an exciting time for all technical fields, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share these kinds of breakthroughs with you over the coming weeks and months. Happy New Year. See you tomorrow.